Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Kim Peter.
Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, September 23rd, 2015. This is episode 137 of The Big Show, and it is a real treat to have you here. Thanks so much for tuning in yet again. I genuinely appreciate it. As I say pretty much every week, I wouldn't do this if you didn't tune in, so I really, really appreciate it. Thanks so much. Well, there is a ton of stuff to talk about this week. And largely where I want to focus is I got a bunch of emails from a number of folks about last week's episode. So last week I talked about how mobile is not a trend. And the real takeaway is that mobile has become a lifestyle. It's become a way of life for your customers. It's how they interact with the information that they want. It is how they find the products and the services that they need. And so to talk about mobile as though it's a trend really misses the point. But I got a number of questions in email from people who wanted more specifics. They wanted to know things like whether they should pursue a mobile website versus an app. And specifically, if they're doing a mobile website, should it be responsive design? Should it be adaptive design, etc.? Now, that's a very hard question to answer because each company, each business, is going to have its own realities. However, we can talk about some frameworks for why you might want to go a certain direction or not. So let's just define some terms here for a second. When we talk about a responsive website or an adaptive website or an app, we are, of course, talking about different ways that customers can connect with your content. How was that for nice alliteration, huh? But it's the ways they can interact with your services and your content online, on mobile specifically. And Martin Clancy on Mobile Commerce Daily, and I spoke about this last week, but he wrote a great piece that talks about adaptive versus responsive, that talks about with adaptive things like RESS, R-E-S-S, which are all just different technologies to handle this. Now, when we talk about a responsive website, what we're really talking about is that you have one template. And that template and all its associated code gets sent to every device, and then the device determines how to display it. An adaptive website, instead, the server looks at the content, it looks at the, the device that's actually requesting the content, and then it goes ahead and it sends only the assets, only the things that are necessary for that specific device. So you have multiple templates, one for each of the different types of devices that you target. And then, of course, the third option is you can have a separate mobile website altogether, often referred to as an M.dot site, because it'd be, you know, M.example.com, or in my case, something like M.timpeter.com. So those are at least three different ways to handle mobile. Now, I will tell you, I tend to recommend responsive in many cases, but that doesn't mean it's correct in every case. What I will tell you is that responsive tends to be a little bit easier to implement across a wider range of devices, because when we talk about a responsive site, you have to actually create separate templates for each device type you want to reach. RESS is responsive web design with server-side components, and it also uses this same ability as adaptive to target specific devices. Now, where that's really handy is for things like image optimization and the like. So it's sort of a hybrid between responsive and adaptive. But I think you need to look at what are the capabilities of your developers, what can you afford, what is going to work better or worse for your specific needs. So, for instance, can you support multiple devices? Can you support multiple sets of content, which you often would have to do with an MDOT site? Can you support multiple URLs, which you definitely have to do with an MDOT site? So I think you're better off with a responsive or adaptive site. Now, there's all kinds of data that suggests that one or the other might be better from an SEO perspective. There's some conflicting, you know, discussion about this. I'm going to link to some things from Search Engine Land and Marketing Land that basically say that Google has long said it prefers responsive, but that there's no evidence that suggests that MDOTs or adaptive do any worse in search in practice. So you can use any of these you choose based on what works for your specific needs. Now, I think the bigger question is, do you need to do this at all? And the answer is, yeah, you do. You need to be available to customers on mobile. But there are other options. For instance, there's folks like Apple and Facebook are actually talking about how they can help publishers specifically, and small businesses in Facebook's case, to connect with customers on mobile without going through all these troubles. So Apple has its Apple News, Facebook has Instant Articles, and in a recent Wall Street Journal article, which I will link to in the show notes, Sheryl Sandberg, who's the COO of Facebook, said about their Pages product, and this is a fairly lengthy quote, so I do apologize, but she said, 35% of U.S. small businesses don't have an online presence. It's even harder to build a mobile presence. By the way, side note, debatable, but we'll skip for that for the moment. Going back to Sandberg, mobile apps are hard to develop and it's very hard to get your app downloaded. Facebook and Instagram get more than 1 in 5 minutes that users spend on mobile phones. So as users' time and attention is shifting to the mobile screen, Facebook Pages are the mobile presence for most of these small businesses, and there's nothing else out there that's this easy and this simple to use. Okay, so I don't want this to be a commercial for Facebook Pages by any stretch. As I said a moment ago, you know, it's debatable how hard it is to build a mobile presence today. I do agree with Sandberg that it is hard to develop, or it can be challenging to develop an app, and it is certainly challenging to get people to download that app, and it's even more challenging to get them to continue to use that app. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I think that it's, you know, incredibly important to recognize how often people do use mobile and how often they do use social. So depending on the type of company you are, depending on the type of business you have, you know, if you have a local restaurant, you know, maybe a pizzeria, maybe you're a dry cleaner, yeah, I would think Facebook Pages might be an incredibly viable option for you. But if you've got a, you know, you're a larger business, you know, 50 employees, 100 employees, things along those lines, if you're an enterprise type business, you know, those are the kinds of things where you need to say, no, that's not an appropriate place for us to rely on solely. And the reason I bring this up is because I've been doing this a long time. I first bought I first got connected to the internet using this tool called Internet in a Box from O'Reilly way back in, oh, must have been about 94, very early 95, featured Mosaic, which was the first web browser that you could get. And what I've seen again and again and again over the time that I've been doing this is that the pendulum keeps swinging back and forth between the web and something else. So it started out with things like CompuServe and things like AOL and things like Prodigy. And then we got Mosaic and people started moving towards the web. And then AOL really did a great job of beefing up its content and beefing up Instant Messenger and things like that. And people used to swing back towards AOL. And then the web got more sophisticated and more people went back to the web. And that went on for a while till social networks came in. And suddenly everything started swinging towards Facebook. And then we got mobile and things started swinging towards apps. But I think we're going to swing back to the web again at a certain point, or we're going to swing to something else. We're about to head into the birth of messaging apps, which I talked about a bit last week. And that might be yet another place you want to have a presence, because maybe that's appropriate for the needs of your customers and where they're looking for you and will help them accomplish what their goals are. So it's not really an either or of, oh, it's a mobile website, or it's an app, or it's a Facebook page. It might be it's a mobile site, and it's a Facebook page, and it's a messaging app. And maybe you can do a native app where it's appropriate to. You know, I'm a huge fan of what Under Armour has done with its app suite. What I love about this case study is what Under Armour has done is they've taken specific functions, specific things, utilities that their customers can make use of. So My Fitness Pal for tracking your diet, Map My Walk and Map My Run for doing exactly what it says on the tin and keeping track of the distances that you've traveled, either walking or running, and the calories that you've burned, and these all integrate so you can keep track of how you're doing as you achieve your fitness goals. They're all free apps. But what they do so well is that they then either hit you with in-app ads for Under Armour services and complementary services, so maybe a watch or a fitness tracker. They also send you coupons and things for Under Armour products in your email. So they're saying, we're going to use this as a way to connect with our customers all the time and drive them towards purchase when it's appropriate to. And there's data that suggests they're doing very well with this. Obviously, Under Armour trails Nike by a fair bit, but they've really come out of nowhere. And they've really come out of nowhere because they're saying, how do we best meet the needs of our customers? How do we help our customers? And then, yes, how do we monetize that traffic? But they're doing it in a very, very controlled and very focused way that starts with, how do we help our customers do what they need to do? And if you do that correctly, then the question of whether you should have an app or whether you should have a mobile website or whether it should be responsive design or whether it should be adaptive design become very simple questions to answer, because it becomes a question of which of those helps us help our customer most effectively. So if you do that well, you're going to find yourself in a really, really good position. You're not thinking about responsive websites. You're thinking about responsive service. And ultimately, that's what will separate you from your competition. Now, taking a look at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week. However, I want to remind you that you can find the show notes for today's episode and an archive of all of our episodes by going to timpeter.com/podcast. And while you're there, I'd really appreciate it if you'd click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find there. You can also subscribe to the podcast via Stitcher Radio or iTunes or whatever your favorite podcatcher is. You just go ahead and do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or Plain Old Thinks Out Loud. We should show up under any of those. You can also find us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates. You can find me on Twitter using @TCPeter. And of course, just like our listeners did at the beginning of this week's show, you can email me by sending an email to podcast@TimPeter.com. Again, that is podcast@TimPeter.com. With that, I hope you have a great rest of the week. I hope you have a fantastic weekend ahead, and I do look forward to seeing you back here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Until then, take care, everybody.